On April 6, 1935, a proclamation by Georgia Governor Eugene Talmadge named the brown thrasher the Georgia state bird. That was apparently not official enough for the legislature, so 35 years later, on March 20, 1970, at the request of the Garden Clubs of Georgia, the state legislature named it the official state bird. The brown thrasher is such a beautiful bird with such a splendid song that it deserves state bird status. But oddly enough, many people don't know anything about it, probably because it's rather reclusive. It sings as loudly as the cardinal from the same tippy tops of trees. No bird that was truly shy would sing so loudly right out there in the open, but somehow, even from its conspicuous perch on a bare branch as high as it can get in a tall tree, it's almost always backlit, its long, slender body and tail in a vertical stance looking like a branch as much as a bird, making it tricky for people to figure out where that loud song is coming from. This is how thrashers often manage to hide in plain view. Cardinals sing their cheery song year-round. In spring, male brown thrashers quietly pick out a territory and then wait to sing until a female enters the scene. After he has impressed one female so that she selects him as her mate, he pretty much shuts up for the year as far as his loud shout it from the treetop song goes. When they're not singing, thrashers literally come down to earth, spending a lot of time on the ground and in low shrubs. But they're far more reclusive than cardinals. People usually only see thrashers when they're paying attention. They're normally here in the Northland only in the warm months, though individuals overwinter occasionally in both Minnesota and Wisconsin. Thrashers belong to the family Mimidae, along with the gray catbird and northern mockingbird, and the three have similar, long, drawn-out songs, and all three incorporate some imitations of the sounds they hear, including cardinals and other birds. Mockingbirds produce the most spot-on imitations, catbirds the fewest. The catbird song is long and disjoint with occasional mews thrown in. The thrasher song is broken into words or short phrases, most repeated once. The steady string of paired songs is easy to recognize and has led to all kinds of mnemonics like, hello, hello, who is this, who is this? I should say, how's that, how's that? Mockingbirds repeat virtually all of their phrases too, but we hear them as triplets or even four, five, or more repetitions before the mocker goes on to the next phrase. Researchers at Indiana University implanted a tiny device into the two bronchial tubes of a thrasher just beneath each of the bird's two syrinxes. They showed that the airflow and muscles controlling the voice are operated separately for the two voice boxes, both contributing about half in a fantastically coordinated production of a single song. The brown thrasher was the very first species this kind of research was done on. Don Kreutzma, who is my all-time favorite authority on bird vocalizations, writes and talks about the brown thrasher a lot. His most recent book, Bird Song for the Curious Naturalist, which came out just this year, is filled with useful information about how to listen to bird song, with links and QR codes taking us to hours and hours of Don's professional recordings. He includes 3 hours and 15 minutes just of brown thrasher songs and explains in such clear and simple terms how he calculates the size of a single thrasher's repertoire that I plan to calculate my own backyard thrasher's repertoire based on my own recordings the next rainy day when I'm stuck indoors. I don't envy Georgians for their state bird, but I'm sure glad at least one state chose the brown thrasher and that the splendid bird spends time in my backyard, even if it is mostly skulking out of sight. My world would be a dimmer, duller place without it. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.